Hello, everybody, and welcome back to yet another very exciting episode of the Friends Talking Fantasy Podcast. My name is Charles, and with me today, as always, it's my lifelong friend and co-host, Dylan.
I'm ready to talk some fantasy with my friend, Charles.
I am ready to talk some fantasy with my friend as well, Dylan, but not just any fantasy today, because today we have a bonus episode. Big deal. We're finishing our March Madness fantasy book bracket.
Thought we'd moved away from the bonus episode term.
Well, it's two in a week. It's a bonus.
True. But it's just an episode.
Yeah, it's another episode. It's the next episode in a line of episodes of the Friends Talking Fantasy Podcast. This happens to be the second one in a week, even though we normally do weekly releases these days. We got a little bit of a little extra something-something because we have been in the works on working down our top 16 reads of the past year. We put them in a March Madness bracket. Top 16 from the past year. A few weeks ago, whenever that was, we did the first half of the bracket. We got down to the first semifinal match.
A week and a half ago, Charles.
Yes, okay. I got it. And then just the other day, at the time of this recording, it was like minutes ago, we narrowed down the bracket on the right side. So now we have the semifinals all set and ready to go. So if you have not listened to our deliberation of our top 16 books to this point, check out those other March Madness Fantasy Book Bracket episodes. If you're just tuning in now, hey, you're like, we're in the finals now, so we're going to get right into it. Who's going to win? It's going to be hard to say.
It is going to be hard to say because we've got some heavy hitters in the final four, Charles. And yes, he's doing some baseball swing, a little off the March Madness, which is basketball topic. But we get it. We got it, Charles. So that's we've right. got Farseer Trilogy, the whole trilogy here. We read that in last year by Robin Hobb. I mean, what more is there to say than we what we have already about Robin Hobb, a titan of the genre we consider on the modern fantasy Mount Rushmore. And this is just a really great, intimate series where it is as good a character study into one specific character, that being Fitz Chivalry, in that you will see in the genre. And then we've got it going up against the book that wouldn't burn, which is on fire as it storms through the the March Madness bracket all the way to the Final Four. That's by Mark Lawrence. It is the start of a new trilogy, Mark Lawrence's newest trilogy. It is an ambitious, phantasmagorical story that is tackling things ranging from big picture themes down to the more nitty-gritty fun action that we have come to expect from friend of the show, Mark Lawrence. That's going to be really tough to decide a winner. And what also is going to be super tough, Charles, is picking between our other two contestants in the Final Four. That is The Rage of Dragons by Evan Winter. That is like Gladiator meets Stranger Things meets just epic dark fantasy that we love so much in an African-inspired setting with a main character who is on a path for vengeance. And what a great action backstory that is. And it's going up against Battle Drum by Sara El Arifi, friend of the show, who is just continuing her Ending Fire trilogy with this book too in fantastic fashion. We get to see the world expand. We get to see her elaborate upon her incredible magic system, upon this awesome world building that she's been doing. And she continues to develop her really, really well thought out characters with twists and turns, Charles, that you and I didn't see coming after reading The Final Strife, the first book in the series. So, Charles, we've got a difficult task on our hands today, and it starts with the Farseer trilogy against the Book That Wouldn't Burn.
Oh, man, I've been dreading this since our first episode that we recorded. I was like, how are we going to choose? Because on one hand, you have this, like, tentpole of the fantasy genre in the Farseer trilogy. It's just, like, frequently cited as one of the greatest fantasy series of all time, and it really finds its own kind of niche place on that list as well, as for all the reasons you mentioned, Dylan, about its character work with Fitz Chivalry and its beautiful magic systems and the skill and the wit and all of these things. Going up against Mark Lawrence's latest and most ambitious work to date, and it was certainly the talk of the town in the past year, and he's got his second book coming out as well in the library trilogy, The Book That Broke the World. That's coming out like this month at the time of we're recording, so just an absolutely hot release that, as you alluded to, Dylan, is on fire right now. So how does one choose between a legend and just like a hot release, you know, like with legend potential? How do you choose?
I think that we have to think, where are the biggest strengths of each novel, or in the case of Farseer series, and where does the other series have a little bit of an upper hand? So Farseer trilogy, the strengths, we've talked about it. It is so focused on Fitzchivalry, and it is a character study. For those who love psychology like me, this can be an extremely rewarding read. That being said, where it's got a disadvantage against a book that wouldn't burn is that it is slow burn. It is a book that wouldn't burn won't burn at all.
The plot that wouldn't burn, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go, Charles. Nice. Good shot.
Thank you.
I'll say that it is a book series that I finished the first book, but I DNF'd the series the first time that I read it, which was about a decade ago, so give me a little bit of a break. But the reason that I didn't continue with that series the first time is that it can be plotting at times, and it is tough being in the head of such a passive character in Fitzchivalry. I think that, and that's a criticism that is leveled at this series, a series that has been extremely highly praised. The criticism that you will see is some people do find it boring. And in retrospect, I think I was a little harsh on it a decade ago. I was maybe looking for something more action-packed at that time. Now, I found it really rewarding read and beautifully written, and I've come to appreciate it a lot more. But when you compare that aspect of it to the Book That Wouldn't Burn, I would say Book That Wouldn't Burn has the action over the Farseer trilogy, and it moves a lot quicker. So it's like, do we want the really character-driven Farseer trilogy, or do we want the Book That Wouldn't Burn, which I think is more thematic and than Lawrence's previous work, not necessarily than Farseer trilogy, but more thematic than Lawrence's previous work, or at least bigger picture in its themes, and also is hitting on that action without being as, like, I feel like some of Lawrence's earlier work is more character-driven, like Prince of Thorns, or like the Book of the Ancestor, and those, I think, a little more intimate than Book That Wouldn't Burn, which is a little more big picture, sprawling, ambitious.
Exactly. And like the setting is one of his more ambitious ones with the library, and you have portals and doorways, and you're getting timey-wimey and all these other things, which is fantastic, you know. But it's just so different from, like, what we have, you know, seen from Mark Lawrence in the past. That's why I call it his most ambitious work yet, because he does all of these things in his other books. But, I mean, this one is just, like, much bigger. He's got a multiple point of view characters. Like, he's really kind of, like, pushed the boundary of, like, his typically contained writing. I think it's paid off for him in a big way. People really do, you know, us included, enjoy the series. It's very well received. But I mean, touched on something with Robin Hobb where it's like, it's kind of interesting where of all of these best series of all time, this one has like the most detractors, I would say, of all of these like legendary series. No one argues that it's like a legendary like fantasy work, modern fantasy work, but plenty of people will say that it was too boring or like wasn't what they were looking for and DNF'd and walked away. And you touched on it. Like if you're looking for like an epic fantasy action scenes, all that stuff doesn't happen in Robin Hobb at all, but what you get is just really beautiful character work. So it's a trade-off. It's like, where do you find your enjoyment in the narrative? Like action-driven, exciting twists, like all these other huge things that happen in the book that wouldn't burn, or like brilliant prose, really introspective, thoughtful work from the Farseer trilogy. It's a tough call.
Yeah, Charles, and this has me kind of curious, what would you say is your favorite Mark Lawrence series?
Oh man, that's a tough one.
Tough choice.
It's a tough choice. It's probably between obviously his most famous work with the Broken Empire trilogy, and then I don't know. I really do like Red Sister quite a bit. That's a good question. I guess my favorite would have to be, it's got to be the Book of the Ancestor, I think.
Okay.
But again, you've read a lot more of his work than I have, so I haven't read Impossible Times or the Book of the Ice or the Red Queen's War. I haven't read those series, but yeah.
I'll say, Charles, I've read a bit more, and could you read every series in Mark Lawrence's repertoire very soon, Charles? Should you? Yes, of course. But I'll say that I consider the Book of the Ancestor my favorite as well. And that has me thinking like, okay, if I'm looking back on Mark Lawrence's work, the one that I would put among the like modern classics for me anyway is the Book of the Ancestor series. And it's a tough one for Mark because he's got this kind of burgeoning Book That Wouldn't Burn. We'll see where this whole series, the Library Trilogy, goes against Robin Hobb's completed trilogy that has already received that modern legend status. So I think it's a tough one for Mark. Like it would be, I think if it's Book of the Ancestor against Farseer, I think I have an easier time just being like, I would want Book of the Ancestor moving forward. For me, that's one of my favorite series. But I don't feel that same level of passion about the Book That Wouldn't Burn off just the first book. That's where it's a kind of almost unfair matchup for Mark.
Right. I think that's fair. And I love the Book That Wouldn't Burn. And it makes me really excited to see like where Mark Lawrence is going kind of creatively as an author. Yeah. And let's be real. The moment this book comes out, in just a matter of days at this point, I'm getting it. I'm burning through it, as they'll say. I'm so excited for the release. The ending, the twists, the turns, the the perspective shifting moments in this book are some of the most ambitious things that Mark Lawrence has done to date, and I'm a huge fan. That being said, a lot of the library setting stuff and the alternate universe stuff, like when it gets into the sci-fi, it's a bit of a detractor for me to my personal taste. Like, what I loved about his other works is that it's just so focused on the characters and the action that the setting background and all the sci-fi elements in the background just kind of make them more cool. In this, it's like competing as a third character, like a third main character in this book. And you're like, I gotta get used to this. So if I have to get super nitpicky, like, I think those are a couple of reasons why I can lean towards Farseer in this one, which is what I think we're doing right now.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, the characters are still very strong in the book that wouldn't burn, and it's a Mark Lawrence book. We know it's going to be awesome. We know we're going to love it. And I'm curious to see how I'm feeling at the end of the trilogy. But as of right now, when I think of Lawrence's work, it's like we've got Nona and Abyss Glass, and we've got Yorg from Prince of Thorns. Like, we've got characters that are just some of my favorites in the entire genre.
Yeah,
coming
Yorg
from that
is incredible,
and we're still
if I'm thinking of an opposite of Fitzseer, like Fitz, I'm thinking it's Yorg for sure.
Yeah,
like if there's gonna ever be.
Yeah, and Yorg is a despicable person, but an incredibly written character, and for that reason is...
And very proactive.
That's why it's so interesting to read about, is the proactivity and the just, like, Machiavellianism turned all the way up to 11. And I'm not quite there yet with the characters in the book that wouldn't burn, though I really enjoy them and give them I think they have a chance to be right up there by the end of the trilogy. So I'm like, I can't believe that I find myself leaning toward a non-Mark Lawrence book, but I think I'm leaning toward Farseer, and I think it was a little bit of, it ended up being a disadvantage that it was book that wouldn't burn as just a single first in a trilogy versus the completed Farseer trilogy. And like I said, if it were Book of the Ancestor, I'd just be pushing for that one. But I could see Farseer getting the nod here. What do you think, Charles?
I mean, I'm happy to do that. Farseer has just... and it has the benefit of being just this legacy work that has impacted me for so long. And I'm such a huge fan of Robin Hobb's, like, narrative style, that it's just like, to put that whole work against one book, it's almost unfair, but you gotta choose it. Like, you gotta come up ahead at some point. And I'm excited to continue reading both series. Like, let's be real. I want to read more Robin Hobb's Farseer trilogy. There's like, 14 books in that world or something. And then Book That Wouldn't Burn is continuing to grow as well. So with the library series. So yeah, got to give it to Farseer this time, but we look forward to both. I mean, come on, top four. All of these are excellent. So I'm happy with Farseer moving to the finals.
Yeah. That was tough, Charles. And we love Mark, so
I hate to see it, man. Like, it's tough.
Hate to see that. Yeah, like, Mark has been one of the earliest supporters of our podcast. I mean, we understand if he ends up doing a fantasy podcast bracket and we aren't able to beat out Fantology. It's like, we'll understand.
Yeah, we'll deserve it.
We'll have to move on to this other final four matchup. Jeez, Charles, why do we do this to ourselves? Like, this is
top four, guys. Hooray, we're done.
I'm like, picking
this
something
is the
over
pursuit,
the book,
right?
Burn.
Our best book of last year. This is the pursuit. No one said it was going to be easy or that we were going to win over our our former friends.
This is the bracket that broke the Dylan. It is a... I don't know how we're going to pick this one either. I mean, we've got Rage of Dragons against the Battle Drum. Jeez, Charles.
So you did a beautiful job at the top of the episode recapping these episodes, these books. Interesting is they do have a decent amount of similarities. Just this like non-European fantasy setting that we really enjoy, and how that's an integral part of the kind of the narrative force. They both deal with classism in a huge way here. Yeah. They both have like action forward magic systems. I mean, it's you got another case of kind of, I mean, Rage of Dragons now has been out for like over 10 years. So it's going into that legendary status, you know, almost a classic, if you will. Hard to think that that's the case. To me, it's still like a hot new release, but it is like 13 years old. And then you have...
It's that old?
It's 20... when was Rage of Dragons? I'm going to... I want to say it's early 2010s.
It was like 5 years ago.
Wasn't it early 2010s? No, 2017. Okay, I'm lying. Okay,
but that is 7 years ago now, which is wacky.
Yes, but that still is quite a while ago. Okay, so it's kind of like
give us a
new
golly,
versus
Charles.
Not as new. You know, new versus not as new. I mean, golly, where do you wind up? I don't know. For me, like Battle Drum, Sara Larifi, friend of the show, like first series, you know, new, same, Rage of Dragons was a debut novel too, but we're looking at the second book in the Ending Fire trilogy for Sara and the first book for Rage of Dragons. What is the name of the trilogy? Oh, The Burning. Ah, so we get the Ending Fire and the Burning. And the book that wouldn't
burn.
And
the book that wouldn't burn. There's a lot.
Interesting. I was not making that connection before, but subconsciously we're like, fire is cool as we work our way to the end here.
Except Farseer has very little in the way of fire going on. And like we said, slow burn. So it's... Anyway, tough matchup. We're just getting to that point where I'm like, I love all these books in the Final Four so much that it's like so tough. And I'm looking for like the most arbitrary reasons to pick one over the other. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think Rage of Dragons still would have the edge in terms of action. The Baldrum has its action, but it is not quite as focused on that. And I think that's just one of Evan Winter's greatest strengths is his ability to write that. I would say the Baldrum is extremely sprawling and has this really well fleshed out world building and can get into intricacies of the caste system, of the magic system, I think at a level that the Rage of Dragons did not as the first book in the series. Like, I would say that's where the Baldrum's benefiting from standing on the shoulders of the giant that was the Final Strife. And yeah, now it's like, okay, do we want the more action-packed, focused story of Tao, just that's our character, we're telling his vengeance story, versus the more sprawling Battle Drum story.
I think this is also a case where you've, like, being the second book in a trilogy kind of puts you at a disadvantage going up against the first book in a trilogy or in a series. I don't know if The Burning is going to be a trilogy or not, but Yeah. To me, also, when I think back about on my reading experiences of both and what I like about it, when I look at the Battle Drum, I think of everything else that comes along with it, like the first book and our discussions with Sara and all these, and like being able to bring those books to like our friends over at SFF Addicts and like all the other stuff that comes with that series that I love. And then Rage of Dragons, I'm remembering like the actual like Udawak and like all our main characters and all the badass stuff they were doing. And like, I don't know, man, that was such a fun read. I think I'm leaning in one direction at this point. And it's really come down to like, look, you're comparing a second book in a trilogy versus a debut smash hit. So that's to me where it's coming down to having to nitpick a winner here. I don't know if you're feeling the same way.
I'm glad you're feeling a certain way because that's helpful. So speaking to this idea of how does a first book benefit over a second book, I think that the novelty of just being thrown into a new world is always so exciting. Yeah. And generally speaking, if you looked at my ratings of first books versus ratings of second books on Goodreads, let's say, I am kind of a first book guy. I think I generally end up enjoying those more than second books. Battle Drum, we specifically talked to Sarah about, like, how did you do such an amazing job of avoiding the second book slump? Yeah. And she did do that extremely well. But yeah, where it's tough and where I could see why you're leaning toward Rage of Dragons is comparing thrown into this new exciting world of Rage of Dragons versus, oh, well, now we're expanding a world that we already are familiar with for Sara, and that's a comparatively, I think, something of a challenge that Sara met extremely well. But yeah, I get the Rage of Dragons lean there, Charles, and I'm not going to fight you on it. I'm going to say, if that's where you're going, I don't feel strong
enough. It's a bit of a technicality, but you got to make a decision some way, somehow. And I think, man, when I just like think back to my reading experiences for both, it's like so much of my enjoyment of Battle Drum was tied up in obviously the book itself, but everything else that comes with it. And Rage of Dragons is purely that high adrenaline action story, the power creeping and scaling and all that stuff that I love so much that's not found in any of these other 16 books. I gotta give it to Rage of Dragons. It's the slight, it's the only thing I could think of to tip one book over the next into the finals. And if you're not going to fight me on it, then I think, you know, for the sake of the exercise, we must make this tough call and we must move on to the finals.
Yeah, Charles, this one broke my heart. this final four, because
we
owed it to the listeners to do our best to pick between these in as unbiased a way as possible. And if we were just going full bias, I would really want Mark and Sara in the finals. And we picked two people that we've, I think, never interacted. Oh my god,
that would have been
the only the only interaction I think we've had with either of these people is Robin Hobb liked one of your rare tweets, I think, Charles, like something.
One of my crowning achievements, Robin Hobb did like a tweet.
I forget.
So we're basically friends.
But
our paths have crossed at one point.
They did. They definitely intersected. The Rage of Dragons, I'm trying to remember if maybe there's been something on social media at some point, but nothing that I can remember. And yeah, we have one book and one series that have made the finals here that I don't know here, Charles. I don't know. I've been having trouble since the first round, and now we're picking the finals. So.
Book that wouldn't burn and Battle Drum would have made a great final. you know, all of these would have made great finals. It's so crazy. Like, but we're going down the path. I don't know if I would have suspected either of these to be like the best read of last year. Like, okay, Farseer, it's like one of those legacy titles that I kept saying over and over again today. And I've said multiple times, like, I remember where I was when I finished the book the first time. I had so much fun rereading it the second time. And I've only grown to appreciate the craft, especially after reading Patrick Rothfuss and then coming back to Robin Hobb's Farseer trilogy. I'm like, wow, this is a genre of, like, this is a writing style in fantasy that I'm just absolutely obsessed with and admire and respect. And so in that case, that's what caused it to just propel through this tournament. And then you've got Rage of Dragons, who, much like Tau himself, just will not be defeated, man. He goes up against Dune. He goes up against Battle Drum. Like,
don't forget Black Tongue Thief, man.
Going up against Black Tongue Thief. And somehow, like, I would have considered him an underdog going up against Black Tongue Thief because it's just such a hot release. But, I mean, he found a way, much like Tau. And somehow we find ourselves in the finals, and he's going up against Farseer, one of the most respected trilogies of all time, and stands a very good chance of winning at this point. Like, I don't know how we got here, but I'm excited, and I have no idea how we choose.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning that Farseer not only made it past Book That Wouldn't Burn, but had to take on Rhythm of War by Brandon Sanderson in the first round. I mean, this has been
the first round
quite a journey. And had to beat out Greenbone Saga. I mean, talk about paths to the final. I mean, none of these were easy. But, okay, Charles. Brass tacks here. To me, Rage of Dragons was a more exciting read. I think I was more just pure enjoyment of the moments of sitting down and reading the book. Yes. Rage of Dragons was, I think, higher up than Farseer trilogy for me there. And then, yeah, it's that versus Farseer, which feels, especially with the completed trilogy versus one book, which again is tough, and we will do our best to be fair, but Farseer is just like this completed masterpiece that is at times, yes, is it slow? At times you're even potentially bored reading it. That can definitely happen, and you'll never be bored in all likelihood reading The Rage of Dragons nonstop through a ride. But then, I don't know, Charles, I think to me it's deciding between enjoyment of the specific reading process versus, like, do we just go with this completed work that is,
it's I like think, entertainment on the genre versus our scholarly pursuits. Yeah. You know, it's like Barbie or Oppenheimer, you know, and like one is the popcorn blockbuster realm of entertainment. One is, I guess Oppenheimer's not a great representation, but it's like, you know, the artsy fartsy movie that wins the Oscar, kind of, right? Versus the blockbuster movie that made $1 billion.
Yeah. But Barbie was sweeping up.
Yeah, yeah. Not a great comparison, but it's like a popcorn blockbuster versus an Academy Award nominated art house movie. That's what we're kind of looking at here in my eyes. Although both have the literary chops of, you know, are both masterful. One is very entertainment driven. One is very, you know, for the art housey people of the world, like us who like to read and talk about books all the time. Like, we,
how about
settled into it?
Yeah. How about something? I mean, Pacific Rim feels unfair to Rage or Dragon, like going a little too far toward just like fun action without that's selling the Rage of Dragons.
Gladiator,
like,
maybe?
Literary merit short. Yeah, sure, Gladiator. Like, Gladiator has,
although, did that win Academy Awards? I don't know.
I would not be surprised. Like, Russell Crowe at least had to be, like, nominated for Best Actor. It's tough. It's tough. But you all know what we mean. It is. And I think, it's selling Rage of Dragons a little short to be, like, popcorn fiction. That's a little...
Yes.
short on the literary merit that I think it does present. But then, yeah, Farseer is like modern fantasy classic with extreme literary merit and influence. Yeah, on
Gladiator won 5 Academy Awards, by the way, including Best Picture and Best Actor.
Oh, so Crowe won Best Actor and the picture won outright Best Picture.
Russell Crowe's an Academy Award-winning actor. I didn't really think of him that way.
I don't know. He's amazing in that movie.
It's a fantastic movie.
Yeah. Okay. Like, I remember as a kid or whatever age we were, probably. What year was that?
Gladiator was 2000.
2000. Okay, so I was a kid.
Quarter century.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was a kid. You were in your, like, mid to late teens. And
that was certainly not.
And we... Yeah, we were in a time where I felt like Russell Crowe, I mean, for whatever 8-year-old me's opinion was worth, I was like, Heath, amazing actor. But anyway, yes. Charles, I feel like we are dodging the task at hand.
Totally dodging. I've got a newfound respect for Gladiator, though, and you can't take that away from me.
Yeah, that's true.
5 wins and 7 nominations. You know, they just don't make movies like they used to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although with Dune, the movies are back, baby.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is why, Charles, you were in your mid to late teens at that time, because it's like the oldest thing a person can say is they don't make movies like they used to. It's like, thinking back to silent films.
Yeah. Okay, Gladiator had more Academy Award wins and nods than I did years alive. Okay, so let's...
That's not true.
It was 1-5, nominated for 7, and I was 9.
Well, so. I don't think you're double counting the ones that it won.
No, I'm not. It
but being won
nominated. 5 and was nominated for an additional 7.
Oh, an additional 7. Right here. Okay, yeah. Okay. Sorry, Charles. That was on me. But Charles, yeah. you continue to dodge a task at hand, which is choosing between Farseer Trilogy and The Rage of Dragons.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Look, if it was like, I'm having a hard time because I thought I was going to come in and say Farseer. I really thought I was. The challenge has become, like, I don't know, man. I'm considering giving it to R.O.D. here because that was such an iconic story. So original, so exciting, so fast-paced. Like, I wasn't ready to say Rage of Dragons was the best book of the year for us.
You but wanted to lose in the first round.
I know, but I've been warming up to it this whole time. I was leaning towards Black Tongue Thief. You talked me out of it. It wasn't that hard. It was a very close battle here. Man. Now anything's possible, I feel like. Anything, I can do anything.
That's not what I want to hear.
Okay, well... I could go. What I'm saying.
Were you leaning Rage of Dragons? Were you leaning Rage of Dragons there?
At that moment, I kind of was, but Farseer is just so iconic. I just feel like coming out and saying Farseer is the best book that we read, series that we read last year. It's like, you know.
Basic.
It's basic. It's got not as much pizzazz as saying like Rage of Dragons, even though it came out in 2017, it's the book of the year for 2024, you know, like, and then just like saying that would be kind of wild and fun.
You know, we're desperate when Charles is just like talking about how it looks from the outside, just like how we are being perceived. Coming down.
We're trying to pick the best book of the year, dude. And I will probably say my own individual taste, which I know some people DNF Farseer all the time and have critical things to say about it. I'm okay with putting our show on the line and saying, look, Farseer was the best book of the year, and putting that out there where it's like, hey, we're the kind of show, we're the kind of readers that love and celebrate Farseer. I'm all for that. On the other side, You cannot lose with picking Rage of Dragons. Everyone would love a good action.
Charles, all you're talking about, this is your marketing. All you're talking about at this point is what people
will think. Do you have another metric in which to choose? I'm open to it.
Okay. So, to me, it's never been about best books. It's been about favorite books. Because we're going to say best, like we're some sort of objective measure.
No,
of like
it's certainly not. Any, in,
so,
yeah.
To Fair. Me, this is favorite books. And, you know, you were already leaning toward Rage of Dragons. And I think if someone were to just come up to me and ask me, Dylan, what was your favorite read of the last year? Mm-hmm. I think I would be quicker to say The Rage of Dragons than I would be to say Farseer. Wow. Farseer, I appreciate it so much. I've really come around on it. It's a fulfilling, rewarding read, but it's like, I had so much fun with Rage of Dragons.
Wow. Then let's... We can't deliberate anymore. We both said we were kind of leaning towards Rage of Dragons. I think we've got to lock it in. I mean, this book had a fight, an arc, almost identical to its narrative with Tau, where it's somehow you get put against these big guys and you just take them on full on and you earn that victory, you know, and you kind of rise through the ranks here. You defeat freaking Black Tongue Thief, one of my personal favorites. You beat Dune, one of the all-time classics. You beat Battle Drum, which came out this year. Sunday Times best-selling author. Then you beat Farseer Trilogy. Like, what the heck is happening? What a bunch of... no one can say that Rage of Dragons did not earn its place. Like, it fought hard and long, dude, to get to where it is right now in the bracket.
Cinderella Story might be a little strong, but it's like they always call the one that goes farther than they're expecting a Cinderella. I don't know if I'd quite go there, but I will say at the we didn't do seeding for the bracket. Maybe that'd be fun next year, but you're coming in and things like Rhythm of War, Farseer, like those are one seed level books. Of course, they
A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Book that would be a high seed, but yeah, book that wouldn't burn. It's like you've got those kind of books in this bracket. Like Rage of Dragons is probably, and Dune's like a one seed, you know, just in terms of their impact. Rage of Dragons is probably coming in a little bit more like in that three seed range. Like, oh yeah, they got some, because Charles, they do like four separate one seeds in the college basketball.
Oh, got it.
That's part. I saw your confusion.
I was like, isn't it?
So it's like each region has 1 through 16 seeds in it, and there's four regions. And I know it's confusing, but
I got so you. I'm with you though.
you got now. So it would be like if we're picking four one seeds, like it might be those four we just mentioned. Then Rage of Dragons like a 2 or 3 seed. So it's like, but those teams are capable of winning, and Rage of Dragons, I think, made us all proud with the run that it went on here, and I am proud as well to call it our champion, and I think Tau deserves this. I think that his vengeance story, he just ran right through this bracket with the fervor that he approached
I think I'm having what you therapy people, psychology people call a breakthrough. Like I'm realizing about myself that I'm a bigger fan of Rage of Dragons than I initially thought. I'm like, wait, am I like a huge fan of this book? Like I just like have been underselling it to myself all year. Like I'm going on a path of self-discovery personally.
Wow. I'll say, Charles, I think maybe you underestimate now how much you enjoyed it then, even after you read it. Like, I think if you listen back to that episode, you would be effusive. Like, you would hear yourself being effusive in that episode about how much you loved that book. I think you'd find the same with like Black Tongue Thief, with Farseer, with Book That Wouldn't Burn, Baldur. But I think Rage of Dragons, I remember specifically, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I know I love this book. I was like, Charles really loved this book. More even than I was expecting. Although I definitely felt that way about Black Tongue Thief as well, where I was like, oh, wow. Like, Charles was blown away. So I think that might have been that whoever came out of that first round might have ended up winning for
seriously year, anyway. that was a big round. So there you got it, folks. Rage of Dragons by Evan Winter, The Burning, book one. All right, huge release, huge win, big upsets, well deserved. Like, if you haven't read it at this point, you got to check it out. Best read of the year. Favorite read of the year. The bracket winner for the 2024 FTF March Madness Fantasy Book Bracket. That is like a seal of approval right there. That's huge.
I think we have to read Fires of Vengeance soon then. If that's...
Yeah. I think I pitched it, didn't I?
Did you?
One of us pitched it.
I think you did.
I'm a bigger fan than I'm realizing.
No, I think I pitched it. I don't know.
Did you pitch it or did I pitch it? I think I pitched it.
I initially thought you pitched it. What did I pitch? Oh, yeah, you pitched it. Because I pitched Gentleman Bastard, Legacy of the Brightwash, and Malzahn. So you must have pitched it.
Yeah, yeah.
But Dune won out in that one.
Yes.
But today, the Rage of Dragons wins out. I have to say, I'm almost... thankful we didn't put The Book That Wouldn't Burn into the final. If it was it lost to Farseer, maybe it would have lost to Rage of Dragons then in the final. And then it's like, you don't want The Burning to beat The Book That Wouldn't Burn in the final, right? Yeah. The Burning trilogy, it's just that would be kind of weird, awkward for all parties. Although I'll say, Charles, you know what's kind of interesting is that it's like these are kind of matchup driven in the same way that like college basketball would be, where it's like, just because Farseer beat Book That Wouldn't Burn doesn't necessarily mean that Book That Wouldn't Burn would have lost to Rage of Dragons, because it's like a whole different conversation. But
totally, like, right, it all comes down to the mat. Like, dude, Rhythm of War dropped out in the first round, Black Tongue Thief gone in the first round. Like,
yeah,
these are,
it's a very matchup driven, it's interesting,
books that we've gone and said were our best reads of the year that lost in the first round. So like it anything could have happened. It's just a favorites list, it's just a fun exercise. I think we ultimately got to a fantastic story to tout as our bracket winner for the year. I think we do it again next year. I think we find a fun way to get some seeds going, some audience participation going. And we have a year to plan it now. Until next March, guys, we'll just see you next week with something totally different, a new story, a new book, a new fantasy story to talk about with my friend Dylan.
That's well said, Charles. I am happy to say the Rage of Dragons by Evan Winter is our champion. And I'm happy to say, Charles, that I believe we're at the point in the episode where it's time to get that sweet, sweet outro music pumping.
All right, let's get that sweet, sweet outro music pumping. Thank you all, one and all, for listening to yet another very exciting episode of the Friends Talking Fantasy Podcast. If you like what you heard today and you want to support the show, and follow us, engage with us over on the socials. That's at the FTF Podcast on TikTok and Instagram, and at the FTF Podcast with the number one at the end on Twitter. Now, Dylan, if they like what they heard today and they want to support the show even more than following with us and engaging with us over on social media, what can they do?
Toss 5 stars to our podcast, which you can do over on Spotify. How can you do that, you might ask, because it's extremely difficult to figure out? Well, you just click the About section, and then you click where the stars are, and then you click 5 of them. And it's super helpful when you do that. You can also rate and review on Apple Podcasts. That means you can say nice things about us. You can say, you know what, guys, you had a really tough task at hand in picking your favorite books in this bracket. And though I may or may not agree with you, you did a great job and I'm proud of you. Please say that. Because it's hard.
Yes,
but you don't have to say that, because just listening is more than enough.
Just listening more than enough. Thank you guys for coming with us on this journey and being supportive of our choices here. It was not easy. So thank you all so much. We greatly appreciate it. You're the best. And as always, guys, go forth and conquer, friends.